Okay, it's the beginning of a new term, school term, and I started life off 20 years ago as a school teacher, and I still kind of think in terms of this being a fresh start in the year. I can't get out of my system, and there is a sense as we start in September of it being a new term, new start. We like to start the beginning of this kind of time of year with something from God, some vision, something really to stir us and help us lift our faith. You know, it's easy to be negative. It's so easy, our cultural heritage, one aspect of our cultural heritage which is not very good, is a negative, cynical, critical kind of apathy which pervades this country. And it's important we shake it off and that we periodically stir ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to let that kind of spirit hang over my heart, but I'm going to be someone who's going to lift myself, and I'm going to be someone who's going to be a person of faith. I want to stir us today to be those people, but men and women of faith whose heart will be ready to receive what God is saying and do what God's saying. So I wonder if you would join me. Let's just quieten our hearts. And just as we're quieting our hearts for a moment as we start, I wonder if you would reach out to the Lord. As we're quiet and your eyes are closed, reach out to Him just in your spirit and your heart. Reach out to the Lord. Because, you know, He's near to every one of us. God is near to each one of us this morning. Lord, here we are. We are your people, and we're gathered together to focus on you, to receive from you, to hear from you. And Lord, we ask that you would come to us in an amazing, wonderful way this morning. Teach us, speak to us, that Lord, we would get your heart in a fresh, living, empowering way this morning, Lord. Amen. When I was about 17 years old, I was at school, and one of my guys in my class, we both fancied doing a bit of walking on a bit of a walking holiday, and I lived in, we've been hearing about Manchester, how cold it is, and I can assure you, as someone who grew up in Manchester, it is not just that cold, it's colder. Summer comes on a Tuesday once a year, and it's sunshine, and that's it, that's all you get. So they weren't joking about how cold it is and miserable it is in Manchester, but praise God I've been delivered from that. And we set off on our holidays for a kind of a break in the Peak District, which is up there, not far from Manchester. And we wanted to do some walking camping. And so we set off, got a tent and one of the sleeping bags and some, I think it was that food stuff that you put powder and you put water in, you know, and you heat it on a little Calagas oven. And we set off on this little camping thing. And we arrived at the first night at the campsite. I was dead keen, my first experience of camping, of that kind of thing, and I was dead keen. I was looking forward to the hills, to the challenges, to the thrills and spills of what it means to get out the open road, up the mountains, all that kind of stuff, the romantic kind of dreams of walking. And the harsh reality was that when we arrived at the campsite, that it was starting to put the tent, it was starting to get dark rather earlier than I planned. And as we started to put the tent up, this cloud of midges descended upon us. And I'm particularly tasty to mosquitoes or any other little biting thing. And so this cloud decided I was going to be supper for them. So we struggled in the fading light, putting up this tent, as I was eaten to pieces. We then, of course, my sleeping bag wasn't thick enough. It didn't have enough togs in it. And so it was rather a cold night. Woke up sort of early in the morning, cold, damp. Seeing the romance of camping had evaporated. And that brave, wonderful walking holiday turned into something else. We said, we've had enough of this. And we went and found a very nice bed and breakfast. And we stayed in this lovely pub, above this pub, in the bed and breakfast, and had a wonderful time with a lovely duvet and a comfy bed. And so I decided at that point that camping wasn't for me. And in fact, that was the last time I have been camping and don't intend to do it again. This morning I want to talk about camping. Well, I don't want to talk about camping. But I've got a verse that we're going to look at today which talks about tents. And it's something from the Old Testament. And this verse has been with me for about 2 months. And in thinking about today and this new term and what God's got for us, I feel that this verse has got something for us now, as God's people here and now. And it's from Isaiah and chapter 54. And this is what it says in Isaiah 54. It says this. It talks about tents. Of course, it was talking to the people of God in the Old Testament. Isaiah, the prophet, talking to a people who moved around, lived in tents. They had lived in tents. They moved around from place to place. And as they moved around from place to place, their existence was a tent existence. So speaking into their culture, into their kind of memory of how things are, and it was relevant to them. There's something that God was saying to the people of Israel at that time through this prophecy. But because Isaiah was a prophet, he not only spoke into the time then, he was speaking ahead. There was something God was saying, something God was putting on Isaiah's heart that was for the future, for the church age, for this age we live in, for the people now. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews that a lot of things in the Old Testament that happened to the people of God there were a pattern, were an illustration, were teaching for us now as the New Testament people of God. And so there's something that God was saying here, not about camping, you'd be relieved to know, but about, in fact, something for us, which we're going to unpack and look at today, which I believe has got relevance for us. And so we're going to go verse by verse through this particular prophecy or particular thing that was on Isaiah's heart, because it's a message here for the church and us this morning. So let's look at this and see what it says. The words of the prophet Isaiah. He said this: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and the left, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Let's start off with the first verse there. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, we don't live in tents, and the picture here in the Old Testament was of extended families living in kind of communities in large tents. And there in the Old Testament, the family of God was very much based on families and those extended kind of families and these tribes. And now, of course, in the church age, we are, as we make clear in the New Testament, we are the house of God. We are the place where God dwells. We are the family of God. We're the people among which God's very presence dwells. So whereas that was something physical, tangible, now it's that kind of application has moved on to being including us, to being us as God's New Testament people, as being the very, as Paul describes us, the very house of God. We are the house of God. We are God's family. We are those that God's gathered together to be part of his new community, part of God's family now. And so this is describing us, and it's stirring us to look bigger. It's stirring us in our hearts to see, as we look around here this morning amongst ourselves, including the children and the folks that have gone out to help with the children, as the family of God, to look beyond that and to see God's heart. There's a heartbeat coming through this scripture. And the heartbeat of God is that God's place, God's house, God's people will be enlarged. God isn't happy with what there is here. Well, God is happy with what there is here. God is happy with us. God's not unhappy with us or displeased. But God's heart is more. Because as Jesus taught about the kingdom of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, as Jesus taught, the message of the kingdom of God was always about growth. You see, again and again and again in the New Testament, the heartbeat of God is that the kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns, where he is, where his presence is somewhere that grows. There's something about it which is a growing thing. And so there's something here that I believe God wants us to look bigger. Let me read this verse in a translation called The Message by Eugene Peterson, a kind of modern American sort of idiom that will help some of us this morning. And this is what he says. He says this. This is that verse up here in front of us. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Isn't that lovely? And he's describing the church of God as his family, and we're going to need lots of room, growing room, for that family. And just reminded me that of one of the things Jesus said about his family, about the kingdom of God, about the church of God. Jesus only talks about the church three times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He mentions the church in three places. He talks a lot about the kingdom of God, but specifically about the church, mentioned three times. One of the things, main things Jesus said, Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church. And the heartbeat, the passion of God of Jesus is that he is going to be about, that was when he said that 2,000 years ago, and he is about now building an organization called the church. The church is the only organization that God invented that is going to last for eternity. God invented two organizations. One is the family and one is the church. When the Sadducees came to ask Jesus about resurrection and marriage, Jesus actually said to them there that in heaven there's not going to be marriage, the giving and receiving of marriage, but we're going to be like the angels. There's going to be some glorification of our bodies, some transformation we can't quite get our mind round. But what it will mean is there won't be the family. Because all that will be in heaven will be the church. It's the only organization that is going to last to eternity is the church. Everything else will not. And so Jesus said way back there we recorded in Matthew 2,000 years ago, that he is going to build this thing, that this organization that is going to be the family of God, that's going to last to eternity. Because in heaven there's the glorified bride of Christ, which is the church. And so it's going to be there. We're going to be there. We are going to be there with all the millions of others, billions of others, the saints, and we're going to be God's glorious church. And it's wonderful, isn't it? What a wonderful thought. And what God's saying here is he wants us to enlarge the place of our tents. He's not talking about where we live. He's not saying put a conservatory on the back of your house or on your flat, put a new kind of story on the top of your flat. It's something spiritual. It's something to do with what's happening in our relationships between us. And this project that I believe is in the heart of God is that the main thing, someone once said, and it's really struck with me, make sure that the main thing is the main thing. And the main thing, which sounds a bit, but when you think about it, it's what God's called us to. The main thing that God's called us to do is to see to be co-workers and help Jesus in his purpose of building the church. Now, Jesus is going to be the builder. It's not down to you and me. But Jesus has invited us to be co-workers, to work alongside him in this project, this wonderful project of seeing the glorious church built. What a wonderful privilege to be invited to be part of that organization. You know, I want to spend my time and effort. I'm only 42 years old. And I know some of you flicker across your eyes there, and you think you never looked that old. But yes, I am. I'm actually 42 years old. And at that, I want for the rest of my life, I want to give myself to see this project come about. Because that's the main thing that God's about on this planet Earth, is that project, is seeing his church built. And it's about seeing it enlarge, it grow. It's about seeing this tent, this place, get bigger. If you consider, when we're meeting here this morning, if you think, for a couple of years, we've kind of got clarified our parish of the church. Our parish of the church, in other words, the area of our influence, our areas of the church that we're kind of looking to reach and serve and reach out to, is about a 3-mile radius, down to King's Cross, over to Finsbury Park, up to sort of Barnet, Golders Green sort of thing, across to Kilburn, a kind of area, about a 3-mile radius. And in there's probably about 500,000 people. It's a very densely populated part of London that we live in. And so, you know, we've got plenty of people. Obviously, we're not the only congregation. There are other congregations in that area that God's called to work together. And we do work together with those to see this purpose come about. But we've got a destiny, a call, a purpose. We are here in this part of London for a purpose. And we're here to see that area impacted with the love, life and power of Jesus. You and I working together with Jesus. I was sat here a few weeks ago and we were praising God. And as I was praising God, I kind of felt this verse reminded me. And this bit about it says, enlarge the place of your tent. I kind of, in my mind's eye, saw these chairs. If you look behind you there's some more chairs stacked up on the kind of things that aren't used today. And I saw those chairs kind of going out that way to the wall and going out that way to the wall with people on. And I kind of just got a sense of God's heart, that God's heart is He's wanting the place of His habitation to be enlarged. That God's looking to see more come in, to see more people added. What does the next place verse say? It says, bits of the verse says, stretch your tent curtains wide. You know, God wants there to be a stretching of what already is. The tent has got this kind of curtain, the kind of material, the fabric of the tent. And God is saying, I want it stretched so there's more room. Do you like being stretched? Do you enjoy being stretched? You know, God is actually looking to stretch us. And you and I need stretching. If a muscle isn't stretched, it will die and wither and be of no use. We're not like an elastic band that's stretched and can break. We're like a muscle that needs to be stretched and exercised so it can be used. And God is looking in our lives to bring challenge through our relationships, through our work, home, families, finance, whatever situations. There's a stretching going on in our lives that we will grow through that stretching. And so the things that are happening to you today, if you get bogged down in those things, and just feel sorry for myself in those things, and feel kind of just narrow in those things, then what happens is I just feel sorry for myself and snowed down by the stretching things that happen in my life. But standing back and seeing that God is wanting a stretching, not so we break, but a stretching so we grow. And so there's more capacity in me to love those that don't know about Jesus. And if, in terms of my own time and effort and energy, God is looking to increase my effort and energy, that I will have the time and effort to touch those people that don't know about the love and life of Jesus. Next bit, it says, do not hold back. And, you know, it's a choice. We can either hold back or not. We can allow the stretching process to grow us, or we can fight against it. Yeah, in Hebrews 10, there's that verse there which is quite sobering, where it talks about people of faith, the family of God. It says this in Hebrews 10:38: we're not those who shrink back. In other words, we're not those who kind of hold back there. It says, we're not those who hold back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved. In other words, it's quite a sobering verse, really. But part of the whole process of being part of the family, kingdom of God, is that there would be a stretching, because that's so needed, it's so important. These things that happen in our lives are so important, so we grow and mature, and something happens in our lives, so we've got the capacity to care for new Christians as they come in the church. Otherwise, I'm so bogged down in my own life, I haven't got the capacity to care for somebody else. And so I need to stretch, because once I've been stretched, when that stretching stops, I've got some capacity. There's some give in my life, so I've got the ability to be able to reach out and help someone as they come to know Jesus in a more personal way. Very sobering thing. And you know, one of the things that I've been very excited about is that God has been stretching us. Last year, God spoke to us to pray and fast and pray for 168 hours continuously. Do you remember we prayed for a whole week, 168 hours continuously? Everyone was praying for that week that we would see God move, and it was such an encouragement that so many of us, that we covered, more than covered and sometimes double covered that time as we pushed through. This year God's been speaking just about fasting, and we're in the month of September, and 60 people in the church have been throughout this year, every day of every month, someone is fasting. Sometimes two or three people are fasting every day. And that continuous fasting is part of a stretching. It's part of a growing. It's a growing in the spiritual disciplines. And it's so encouraging to see that God is doing that. God is challenging us to be those that are growing in these things. Do you know one of the things that kind of is a sobering thing that a bit in my heart really quite recently is from this verse, God is so passionate about those that don't know about him. God is so intent on seeing his kingdom grow. Jesus is so passionate about growing his church. But if we don't do it, if we fail, God will raise up another group of Christians to do it. You know that? And so I want to be someone who at the end of my days, I stand before God and God says to me, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do. And I want us to be here in this church. I want us to be those that simply do what God asks us to do. That we would see the kingdom of God burst out more and more and more. It's so encouraging, as we've seen over these last years, people become Christians through what we've been doing, the cell groups, through Alpha, added to the church, become a part of cells, the cells grow, and seeing people become cell leaders through that whole process. Fantastic, so encouraging. The heart of God is there's more. Jesus' heart for us, I feel this verse, is an imperative coming to us, saying there is more. There's more that God wants to do. God's heart is looking for more. And that more means that there's a challenge. And I want to be included in what God's doing. I say, God, here I am. Please be my prayer. God, please include me in what you're doing in North London. I want to be included. I want to be in this thing. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to fail. In a sense, because there's a chance I could fail. I could hold back. I could not enlarge the place of my tent. I could hold back from these things, not be stretched. And then I'd fail. I missed what God wants to use me here in this part of London. Next bit, it says there, lengthen your cords. Imagine this tent, okay? You've got the tent up there, and you've got these cords that kind of hold the tent. As it grows, you've got to lengthen them to kind of, so the thing's stable, the thing can kind of hold up. And it's a real challenge. Because if this thing's going to not collapse, if God's work here isn't going to collapse, there's going to be a need to lengthen our cords. And that whole thing of reaching out beyond where we're comfortable, there's been a lengthening in our reach, a lengthening from where we are now, comfortable. I've been really challenged with this, the gospel band concert that's advertised over there, to stretch out from where I'm comfortable in inviting people to start being uncomfortable in inviting people. Just because my nature, I'm a bit of a shy wallflower by nature, and I tend to be not someone that kind of, you know, would stop a person in the street and say, you know, hello, you know, would you want to become a Christian? But I feel God wants me to stretch out beyond where I'm comfortable, to lengthen my cord, the reach of this cord, beyond where I am, to those that are beyond my kind of normal sphere, to take a risk, to take a chance, to step out in faith, with the help of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to lengthen our cords, to reach out further. Then it says, strengthen your stakes. Now, if we put all our effort into reaching out, into touching the lives of those that don't know God, and that all our effort and energy goes in that direction of every single one of us, that is so fantastic. And yet, if we then bring people into the church, if here we haven't got something to bring them into, they're going to be disappointed and not meet God at the depth they need to come through to the level of intimacy and experience of Jesus that they need. So as well as lengthening the cord, it says strengthen or deepen your stakes. Imagine the picture. The tent is there. It's getting bigger. You've lengthened the cord. No longer do you just sort of get a little... If you've ever been camping, these rubber mallet things, where you get a little tent peg. If you don't know if you've seen this, you put the tent peg in the ground and you hit with a rubber mallet, yeah? As the tent gets bigger, it's no good doing that. You're going to need a bigger stake. It's going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to get a bit of a sledgehammer to get this thing in the ground. It needs to go deeper, deeper and deeper. And God wants us to go deeper into Him. If we're going to have something to bring people back into, we have got responsibility as individuals and as a church to be deeper in God. Whatever level of depth you are in your intimacy, in your relationship with God, in your knowing God and experiencing God, God wants you and I to go deeper, to experience more of Him, to be more intimate with Him, to know more of God, more of His Word, to experience and take in and be more in to all that God has for us. And this is something I'm really excited about, because God's been speaking to us about having more of the Holy Spirit. Nick mentioned on Monday, we've got some Monday nights where we're coming up to experience more of His Holy Spirit. We're going to start next week on Sunday mornings for a year. We're going to be every Sunday, we've got some other things happening on Sunday, but it's going to be a series lasting for a whole year. We're looking and be teaching about the person of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in the book of John that when I go away, I'm going to send to you another counselor. And when Jesus had his disciples together in Jerusalem, he said, after he descended, he said, wait until I send you power from on high, that you may go and be my witnesses. And so we feel very strongly, Nick and I feel that as a church, God wants us to have more of the Holy Spirit, that we would be those that would strengthen our stakes. So we're going to be looking at the person of the Holy Spirit, teaching Sunday by Sunday on the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is He? What does He do? On the gifts, fruits, and working, and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and as people in our cell groups and as a church. So we're very excited about that, because we're going to be going deeper into God. And we're looking at our cell groups to apply that, to see it worked out, to be experiencing more of God's Holy Spirit in our cell groups as we gather together week by week, seeing it worked out in practice. So that'll be a really wonderful thing. The other thing that we felt is that in order to continue to go deeper into God, 2 years ago we ran a Bible school, and the Bible school was a fantastic success. We had 30 sessions over a year, and it was a very big commitment for those people that, you know, signed up for the Bible school. And we taped all those sessions, and we had notes for those sessions. What we feel would be really helpful is to make those sessions available as a self-study package, so that for those of us in the church who can't commit to every Monday night or whatever it is, but we want the flexibility, we want to go deeper in God, we want to study the Bible, we want to have a Bible school kind of education, if you like, but need the flexibility to do it when we can. We're going to make available a Bible study school that will be something that you can do at home on your own in modular form, these 30 modules with a tape and some notes, so you can study at your own speed over a length of time, whatever you want to do. And so that's going to be available. If you want to ask me afterwards, we can I'll tell you the details of that. Because we want us to, as a church, to go deeper into God. We want all of us to go deeper, to be strengthening our stakes. Then it carries on. It says, for you will, and this is where promise starts. So the first few things have been imperatives. God's saying, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. Oh, doesn't it happen so often with God? God doesn't give you carte blanche promises, because God, and so often God says, I want you to obey me. I want you to do this, and this, and this, and this. If you do this, 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 then, or in this case, for, so this means that's what's going to happen, you will spread out. Isn't this exciting? To the right and the left is these chairs, okay? And where Kelly is, to that wall. Where Barbara is, there, to that wall. We're going to spread out to the right and the left. It says your descendants will... I'll come back to that last verse in a moment. But it says there will be an increase. We've got one of the biggest buildings that we can get in this area. I've been building hunting for many years. I've looked at many buildings. And in this area, buildings are a real problem. We moved from the sports hall down there, that other school, the assembly hall down there, to this one here, specifically because this was bigger. In many ways, that was quite a good venue, but this one's bigger. And because we felt this is God's heart, that this would happen, so we've moved in faith, saying that's what we're going to do. We raised money and bought those chairs that are behind us there. And we've bought enough chairs, we bought 400 chairs, we've got a lot of chairs. Because God's spoken to us about growth. And so as a church, we've done what God's told us to do, And now we've got to press into these things so that we'll see what God's saying come about. Very exciting. We've got musicians. You know, we've got more musicians than we can possibly rotor in on a Sunday. We've got so many fantastic, God has blessed us with wonderful musicians. Praise God. We've got, as you know, over the summer where we had the preachers on the preaching course, we've got so many gifted and anointed preachers. God has given us so much. Our cell groups are very strong. And we've got many trained to be cell leaders who are ready to take on the responsibility as more people come in. God has prepared us over these last few years, particularly with all the training, all the things that have happened. Well, if you remember 2 years ago, Nola Richards, prophet from Australia, came and told us about preparing, getting ready. We've responded. We took it seriously. We've run training courses. We've prepared preachers. We've prepared cell group leaders. And so we're ready. We've been preparing, working towards what God wants to do in this season that we believe. Just as a sort of aside, very interesting, it says there, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Michelle and Ruth have been part of this church, as you know, for 17 years, working at the moment in Southeast Asia as missionaries. And they are working in a desolate city, in a sense Christian-wise, and a place of tremendous poverty and need. And they've gone out there to see spiritually, to see what God would do amongst the people where there just needs to be so much. And one of the things that the prophet Noah Richards said about what would happen here is people would go out. I know that many of us here are going out, have been and are going out to help Michelle and Ruth, visit them, encourage them, and maybe other places as well. I want to encourage you, though, in your reaching out here in London today. Just to sort of conclude our time together, I want to just encourage you. Because I felt about 6 weeks ago, beginning of the sort of summertime, I was feeling a bit discouraged. I kind of felt that my personal efforts at evangelism were kind of not working very brilliantly. And I wasn't feeling very encouraged. I came across an article in a magazine on the underground called The Metro. I don't really chap on the underground, but Ken Livingston handed it, put his magazine, a bit of propaganda by Ken, called The Metro. But an interesting article, one of the interesting articles that caught my eye, it says, the article was entitled, "Are You Tired?" it said, ? And it caught my eye because it was an article, and it was... I don't know whether you've... One of my training that I've had in the past has been as a marketing person, a marketeer. And marketeers segment the population, the demographic population, into different groups. And you have the dinkies, the dual income, no kids. And you have the empty nesters, those parents whose kids have flown the nest and left there. And there's different ways of looking at how to reach different segments of the population. Anyway, this they segmented the population, the group, into the people called the tireds. I thought, I feel tired. What, who are the tireds? And it says, the tireds are the 30-something, independent, radical, educated dropouts. I thought, well, God, I hope I'm none of those. But I certainly feel tired. And I sort of went, and at that time, just before that, I was invited to, we work with other churches. And a meeting was put on for the church leaders of the churches in the area, gathered together to try and encourage church leaders in this area. Great, so I kind of went along to be a part of this group. I sat down in the meeting, and this guy could go up to speak, who I'd never heard of or seen before, American guy called Dick Mills. And he got up, he was 81-year-old guy. And he couldn't stand, he had to have a seat to sit on, because he was quite frail. But he'd been preaching for 60 years, plenty of experience, and is evangelist. And God had given him an amazing prophetic gift along this line of 60 years preaching. And so as he was there, he gave his message, which was encouraging. And then at the end, he said, right, I feel God's given me something. And he pointed to me in the audience and said, stand up. I thought, oh, what's he going to say? And what he had wasn't for me at all. It's for us. It's for the church. Because what he had said was, in fact, the backbone of it was given through four scriptures. And I'll just put these four scriptures up, because they were written down, thankfully. And they were about vision. The prophecy that he had was about vision. And it started off with Luke 1. He started with Luke 1:45. And this is for Mary. It's about Mary. It says, blessed, the mother of Jesus. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And so there's a blessing. God's saying, there's a blessing for those who believe that what God has said will happen. And Mary, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her what was going to happen, she was blessed because she believed what God said. Simple as that. So I want to stir your faith this morning. Will you believe that what God has said to us through prophecy, and what God said to us through our preaching over these last years, and the point God's brought us to, will you believe, will you put down what is in us, our cynicism, our kind of failure, our kind of frustration, our things that don't work, our efforts, we've invited our neighbours, they've not come to things in the past. Will you put that down and look here at the blessing that Mary received? Mary was so blessed, wasn't she? Mary, mother of Jesus, was so blessed. She has believed that what the Lord has said would be accomplished. That's something, there's a promise in there for us. Will you believe it or not? Faith is a choice. Will you believe it or not? Goes on. Numbers 23 is to encourage you. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? Is God like you or me? Is he fickle? Does he change his mind? Does God say he's going to do something in North London? Does God say he's going to do something? Does God bring us a prophet to the church and then not do it? If God says he's going to do something, if it's what God says, then he's going to do it. And God's looking for us to be included in that process. We've got a part to play. We're not just passively sat by, put our feet up and said, God, if you said it, you just get on and do it. There's an engagement. Which is why this whole morning, this verse we're looking at here, there's something for us to go and do if we're going to see this happen to us. God's certainly going to do it here in North London. The question is, are we going to be a part of it? And that's the invitation we've got. And that's the promise that God's kind of giving to us. And isn't it encouraging? Okay, number three was in Habakkuk 2. It says, for the revelation, in some versions it says, for the vision. For the vision awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And what he prophesied from that verse is that the vision that had been around for the last 2 years, interestingly, that's what he said, the last 2 years, which is interesting, which is kind of the thing that's been building over these last 2 years. He said there's a time of fulfillment, a time of it coming about, a time of those things happening. And it's interesting what it says there, though it linger, wait for it. So there's an element of patience. There's an element of prayer. There's an element of fasting. There's an element of pushing through into what God's got for us. That waiting. Often, it says in the scriptures, in Psalms, wait on the Lord. Wait. But that wait isn't a passive, put your feet up. The wait is a pressing on. Keep in faith. Keep moving in. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't be passive. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Isn't that an encouraging promise? And then rub. This is where the kind of the sting in the tail comes at the end. Because Exodus 12:28, the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So what God said, the people of God did. So that's the bottom line, isn't it? I really noticed that when I looked at it afterwards. That the kind of end of that kind of prophetic words is, that from the scriptures, is that the people of God have to do what God's saying. And so we have a responsibility, a response to do what God asks us to do. Let's take these things on board. We've heard a lot this morning. I wanted to stir you at the beginning of this new term to really kind of take these things on board and let them really strike with a resonance in your heart. I wonder if you'd stand with me, please, this morning. I want to encourage you. Barbara and I have got a babysitter for a week on Thursday. We've paid someone to come and babysit our children. We've invited our neighbours. And I just want to stir you to, if you're a married couple, get some babysitters. And just reach out. And just ask. Ask. Because you never know. If 100 of us in the church ask one person, maybe only 30 people come. Those 30 people come. So some of us are going to be disappointed. We're going to ask and the people won't come. But hey, if none of us ask, then no one will come. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, that there's no guilt and there's no pressure in this verse, Lord, that in this thing you're speaking to us this morning. There's no sense of condemnation. at. And Lord, there's no sense of ought in this. Lord, there's a heartbeat of your passion to see your church built, Lord. And I bring before you my weakness, my, Lord, this morning, my lack of desire, often my feeling of inability to speak to others, my feelings of failure and frustration in the past, my, Lord, excuses and procrastination, putting off speaking to those around me. And Lord, I confess not relying on you, often just trying to do it, Lord, out of grit or guilt or whatever. I'm asking for, Lord, a fresh passion and a fresh vision. Lord, because unless you stir our hearts with vision and passion, this stuff is not going to work, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to be a people in any sense that are motivated by fear or guilt or pressure or condemnation or accusation. And Lord, this morning I ask that you'd lift these things. If the devil has put any of these things in our heart, lift them off our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, release us from these things, we pray. Just if any of those things I spoke about are true in your heart, lift them to God. Just imagine getting hold of those things like they were a bit of paper and handing them up to God and saying, God, I give these things to you. I don't want these things resting on my life. I don't want these things tinging my outlook. I don't want these things being a hindrance to your purpose for me being here in North London. And Lord, I want to ask that you give us the boldness to invite people. And those that don't come, please encourage us, Lord, with the fact that, Lord, we're obeying you and following you. And those that do, we ask that you would soften, draw them to yourself by the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus, Lord God, thank you Jesus, Jesus. Just wait and reach out to Jesus. Thank you Lord. Resist the devil now. If he's coming to you with any accusations, any sense of failure or any sense of this, in this whole area of evangelism, any sense of it being hard and not working and being difficult, just resist the devil's accusations and the things he wants to ensnare us with this morning. Lord, just lift your heart to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Prince, could you just come back and we just ask that the musicians would gently, quietly minister to us in song. And the rest of us, just focus on Jesus. Let's not sing a song. As the musicians are singing a song, let's just engage with God in a personal, intimate way. And let the music minister to us rather than us join in. For the moment, please. We've got a little bit of time before the children come back this morning. I want you to as we're waiting before God, just to wait comfortably. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. Please, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But please don't be passive in this time. Please reach out to Jesus. Reach out to him for more of his heart. More of his love. Ask God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask that the people who went to Manchester, who saw 1,000 people saved just a few weeks ago, those five folks, would you just go around us here as we're stood or sat? And just pray one by one. Just simply lay hand on a person and pray. Just a simple prayer. Just pray one after another. Just go to each person along the row, lay a hand on them, and just pray for God to impart a fresh passion, a fresh vision, an excitement, a possibility, something stirring. And for the rest of us, please just...